Victor Lau is the leader of the Green Party of Saskatchewan and nominated candidate for the party in the constituency of Regina-Douglas Park. Victor started his political career at the University of Regina in the early 1990s. He was elected student representative for Campion College twice. He's been Regina and District Labor Council president, youth president for the Saskatchewan NDP, federal and provincial organizer for the Green Party, and personally run in several elections municipally and provincially. Victor never gets tired of facing the voters. He's happy to have become a Unitarian Universalist, and we're happy you're here too. He is joyfully married to Heather and has three stepkids and three dogs. He runs his own pet-sitting business and is heading towards 26 years of service at the Real Canadian Superstore in East End. So, Victor. There we go.
Well, thank you very much for having me come here today to present. I'm very excited to present about Bruce Heyer. It was very interesting to find out that not only is he a Green Party MP, but he is also a Unitarian Universalist. So that was really exciting. Since we have a lot of time, I'll probably go through a bit more of the wiki, but I did manage to get a 30-minute interview with Bruce, so hopefully that'll give you guys a little more in-depth kind of background. Bruce T. Heyer is a member of Parliament, that is for the Canadian Parliament, for Thunder Bay Superior North. He is an incumbent and assumed office in 2008. It says here he's preceded by Joe Kumuzi. I believe that was a Liberal. He was born on August 6th, 1946. He's 68 years of old, born in Hartford, Connecticut. Currently, he is with the Green Party of Canada. He was a New Democratic Party member and MP, and his other affiliation was he sat as an independent from 2012 to 2013. He's married to Margaret Wanlin. He lives in Thunder Bay, Ontario. And says here, as a profession, he was an ecologist and a businessman before becoming a member of Parliament. Let's see, what else can we say here? He's also the deputy leader of the Green Party of Canada. He was first elected in 2008 in the federal election there, and that was when he was a New Democratic MP. And then he got reelected, I guess, with a wider margin in 2011. Let's see what it says here. Heyer was born in Hartford, Connecticut in 1946. In Connecticut, he was a police officer and also worked for the Connecticut state government. At age 29, he moved to Canada and lived in a teepee 15.4 miles, 24.7 kilometers, west of Armstrong Station, Ontario. While living there, he built a log cabin from scratch. This fulfilled a childhood dream of his. In 1978, he moved to Thunder Bay, where he started his wilderness and ecotourism business. Heyer met Margaret Wanlin after coming to Thunder Bay in 1978. They married in 1993 and have one son, Michael, who was born in 1995. They also have a dog named Buddy. So I got to, luckily got to interview Bruce. I contacted his office in Ottawa, and they were gracious enough to get 30 minutes of his time. And so when I called him, the first thing I wanted to know was, you know, why was he a Unitarian? How did he come to become a Unitarian a Universalist? He started out telling me that his background, his mother and dad were devoted agnostics. They really hated organized religion. And I just wanted to give you a definition of this for those that don't know. Agnostic means a person who believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God, or of anything beyond material phenomena, a person who claims neither faith nor disbelief in God. And so they went on through their life like that, and but they did look around, and when Bruce was a little boy, they thought they wanted him to kind of get some, I guess, some background in terms of schooling, and they found, you know, it's pretty funny, the way he put it was, they looked around for the least religious Sunday school possible, and they found a Unitarian center in West Hartford, Connecticut, and enrolled him there. Bruce, you know, he said he really loved Sunday school. He found it invigorating. They did a lot of different topics and really opened his mind to the world. And eventually, through his involvement through Sunday school, his parents also fell in love with the Unitarian congregation there. And amazingly, considering that his mother and father both were agnostic, his mother eventually became deacon of the church, which is incredible, because he said his mom was not only had an antipathy to most religions, but she was very, very much against Republicans. She was anti-war and was also a very, very early environmental activist. And so he believes that a lot of his belief system does come from his mother's side, kind of thing. Eventually, Bruce grew up and went to university, and he did what most university people do. He started drinking and chasing women. In 1976, he moved to Canada, and in 78, like I said before, he ended up getting married in Thunder Bay. He did find a Unitarian fellowship there in Lakehead, and he sits on the board and does an annual talk for them. In terms of his life as a member of Parliament, he says it's a very stressful life. He's very glad that he has the support from his family and his church. Otherwise, it would be very, very daunting. The specific things he likes about the church, he really loves the candle ceremony, lighting the candle and hearing about people's concerns and their joys. He thinks it's really amazing. He also feels that one of the major things that he feels coming to the Unitarians is that when you're feeling bad and you go to the Unitarian congregation, you come to church, you know, you feel better. And then if you feel good and you go to the Unitarian congregation, you leave feeling even better. So he says it's a no-loss situation kind of thing. The one thing he really wanted me to emphasize is about his faith is he felt that coming to the congregation, it is a religion that really gets you to question your answers. And I feel that too reflects what I feel. You know, I come with a lot of background and you know, I guess, experience. And then whenever I hear people come and give lectures, it really makes me think, you know, and I really like that. I appreciate that. Second question I asked him about was how his faith does it play a role in his politics. And he started just immediately kind of ranting about how he hated Stephen Harper, our prime minister, for bringing his religion into politics. But he admitted after a while, laughingly, that he himself was a hypocrite because he brought his faith into, you know, how he decides, you know, how to vote on different members, bills and legislation, that kind of thing. His background was he was an evolutionary biologist, I guess. So he feels that also, in addition to his faith, that also brings kind of a balance where he likes to base his decisions on facts and good science. He said that people are entitled to own their faith and their opinions, but they're not entitled to own the facts. He thinks the facts should be able to stand on their own. Some interesting background facts he told me was that him and Elizabeth May were actually born in the same hospital. He's 8 years older than Elizabeth May, but they both grew up in Hartford, Connecticut. Weirdly enough, they are both Americans. I don't know how many people knew that. But they both found each other in terms of common interest when they both worked on organizing the first Earth Day in 1970. In terms of Bruce's background as an evolutionary biologist, he said he had one famous thing that he did. He found that this one bird species was actually two. And so if you Google that, it's actually noted out there. The third thing I wanted to really ask him about was, if people are watching the political news, there was a very important decision whether or not Canada should get involved in the ISIS crisis in terms of whether or not we send military, bombing toward that. And so I asked him about that because I guess when they came down to voting whether or not to send military I guess, I don't know if you'd call it aid, but military support. Elizabeth May, of course, said no, that this is wrong, we should be using more diplomacy. And Bruce, even though he was a member of the Green Party, which is a pacifist party, ended up voting in favor of it, standing with Stephen Harper's decision. And so Elizabeth May, of course, was not very happy with him. Bruce says he's more tolerant of her than she is of him. And she actually, I guess, publicly denounced him after he made that decision, which is kind of, you know, I find kind of ironic. I mean, part of why he was lured over to join the Green Party was she told him that outside of the party platform, you would be allowed to vote your conscience as an MP inside the Green Party. You decide matters of conscience or your constituents' concerns. And then here comes to, you know, an issue that was outside of the party platform. You know, could be argued that it was inside the party parameter or principles. And he ended up basically voting the other way. And you know, I think, you know, he has a lot of information on the inside as a member of parliament to understand the situation. He also says that though Elizabeth May and then himself have similar values, they don't agree on how to implement them. He believes that he chooses to push for positive messages. He thinks that's a better way to sell politics. And in terms of the actual decision that he made on it, on the ISIS situation, he felt he couldn't stay on the sidelines on this. Not doing anything would cause more loss of life. And then I asked him to kind of perhaps give us a direct example, and he was glad to do so. He said, imagine if we were faced with the situation again of Hitler invading Poland. He says, after that situation, do we keep negotiating? So in his mind, I think he felt that, you know, what ISIS was doing on the ground, you know, down, I think it's in Iraq there, it's so imperative that we do something militarily. Let's see. How he came to become a Green Party MP was interesting. He loves telling the story kind of thing. Basically, he left the NDP because the party whip at the time, they were deciding whether or not to vote in favor of supporting the gun registry. The legislation was to remove the gun registry from the gun control portion of the legislation. And so the NDP was taking a strong stand to support keeping the gun registry intact. And Bruce, for whatever reason, maybe to support his constituents, he's from Northern Ontario, said he was going to be voting against, or, well, actually voting in favor of the legislation to remove that portion. And so the party whip said that he would be disciplined for that. And he told me that the reason why he joined the NDP 2.5 years ago was because of Jack Layton. He felt really energized by Jack's energy. He feels the party is not the same anymore. So then after being punished for voting in favor of Stephen Harper's bill to remove that portion of the gun registry, he ended up sitting as an independent from 2012 until late 2013. That's when Elizabeth May, probably earlier on anyway, having discussions with him, in December of 2013, he decided to join the Green Party of Canada and become their second member of parliament. Bruce told me that he feels the NDP is really, much like the Conservatives, driven by an ideology. They feel they're very morally superior and correct in all ways. He laughs at the Liberals when I asked him, well, what do you think about the Liberals? And he said, well, the Liberal Party is pretty much flexible. They just have no backbone at all. They just go this way or that way, depending on where the wind blows kind of thing. So that was kind of interesting. He told me this story about how he came to basically be lobbied by the Liberals when he was an independent to join them. And he gave them a list, I guess. He told them, well, these are the four items I would like if I were to become, you know, a Liberal MP. He said he would like to see them implement a price on carbon with a dividend to give back to the citizens. He would like to not see the leader having to basically sign the nomination papers for their candidates. He feels that's too much power granted to the leader. He'd also like to see a guaranteed annual income implemented and proportional representation put through so that the electoral system is more fair. And the Liberals just laughed at him and said, you know, Bruce, this is just too big of a list. I mean, we can barely focus on our current agenda, let alone all these four priorities. And Bruce laughed back and said, well, don't worry about it. You know, after the next election, when you're in a minority situation and you need the Greens to prop you up, we'll come back with this list and you'll end up implementing all this anyway. So he's quite the character. He really, really is a solid guy. He knows where he wants to be. Then he went on and he loves telling, telling this sort of story. I'm sure he's told it a million times. A little while back, he had to have a stent put into his heart, and so he went in for surgery. And he was feeling plugged up somewhere inside. He was 65 years old. And the doctor had him on a treadmill. And so he was running on the treadmill to see how, you know, how his heart was holding up. And the doctor, I guess his doctor was named Dr. So, basically told him that, wow, Bruce, you're like an Olympic athlete. And then after looking at the results, he says, and Bruce says, apologies for my accent, Victor. He says, the doctor says to him, ah, so you are plugged, right? And so Bruce says, ah, yes, yes. And the doctor says, but the good news is, I can 99% fix you, 1% chance I kill you. And Bruce said, I'll take those odds. That's really good. And so then they were preparing for surgery, and the doctor is asking if he was ready. He says, well, before you operate, doctor, I just have one question for you. Are any of your patients conservatives? And he says, well, yeah, of course. I'm sure some of them are. And he goes, well, I have a question. Any of them have hearts? And so the doctor kind of chuckled and said, you know, whatever. Are you ready for the surgery? He goes, well, give me a second. One more question. Are any of your patients liberals? And the doctor said, well, yes, of course. I'm sure some of the patients are liberals. He goes, well, I'm just wondering, do any of them have backbones? Right? And the doctor kind of groaned and, you know, wants to get on with this. He says, well, Mr. Heyer, I believe you're a New Democratic member of Parliament. Is that correct? And he goes, yes, very, you know, very proud of that achievement. He goes, well, can I ask you, do any of the New Democrats have brains? And so, and then on it goes in terms of having the surgery. Bruce, he's an amazing guy. He managed to survive cancer a while back. I was wondering, I didn't feel comfortable asking him. He throughout the whole interview, he had a very heavy lisp. And I guess the reason why he had that lisp was 4 years ago, he had came down with severe cancer where he lost a bit of his tongue and ended up going through massive chemotherapy. Considering all that he's gone through, he's an amazing person. He still has such dedication to his job and such vitality. I really hope he gets reelected. I think he's a decent MP, and outside of being a Green MP, I think he's a wonderful person. What else can I tell you? Whenever he's asked about his health, he always says, you know, they found three things. He's got no cancer, he's got a medium-sized brain, and he's got a strong, big backbone. And that's really, really how I found the interview to go. He basically, you know, I asked him, the last question was, you know, is there anything else you wanted to, you know, I guess me to pass on? And he said the main thing was that his faith really comes back down to that idea of being able to come into the congregation and having your answers questioned. He really felt that was important. And I think that's something hopefully he can kind of, if he's reelected and ongoing with his work in politics, get that across to all the members of Parliament, you know, to be open-minded, to question the answers that they come with. He told me he works 90 to 100 hours a week. It's a very stressful job. And he said if he is reelected, he is hoping to cut that back to about 60 hours. He'd love to come here and give a talk if we're interested, and certainly he's interested in coming out to Saskatchewan. The last thing was he said his wife was an Anglican and hated being an Anglican and eventually joined with the Unitarian congregation. So he's managed to bring a whole bunch of people into the fold kind of thing. That's it all. Thank you. Let's see if there's any questions, I guess. Sure. Yeah.
Comments?
Thank you, Victor. You'd be too young, but this guy is not. So it's just the fact that, I mean, I have two questions, but I'm just going to ask one. He left the U.S. to come to Canada in 1976, so there's a good chance, based on the fact that he didn't like war too much, he didn't go to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
since it's based on Vietnamese thing, okay, the U.S. has nothing to do with in Vietnam because of, I mean, why should you fight communism? Mm-hmm. And so he moved to Canada, and I'm pretty sure I've got a few friends who did the same thing, but that was in France. But the thing also with regard to this, what was I going to say? Yeah. So if he votes to go to Iraq,
yes, intervention. Yeah.
Is there something which is basically the imperialistic aspect of going to war against a philosophy which is not a Western philosophy.
Yeah, it's an interesting, really interesting topic. I wish I could have specifically even expanded on that area, because it is a value in the Green Party. Most, if not all, Green Party members do feel an obligation to really push for a peaceful world, to intervene in matters of state with diplomacy, not with, you know, military means. And so I think it is a very interesting. I was actually surprised when he did vote in favor of war, basically in favor of sending in the military. I think it was a very important vote where I think, you know, he feels that there would be less lives lost by intervening militarily than not to. You know, he felt that he himself voting his conscience, and maybe possibly voting the way his voters, his voter base might have wanted him to vote, that was important. It is surprising. It would be very interesting to ask him, you know, more. But like I said, the example he gave me when I asked was he felt that we had done all we could, you know, using that example of like Hitler invading Poland. It was the last straw. You know, I don't know. It's a very hard decision. But just hearing some of these stories, if they're true, of these horrible things that ISIS is doing on the ground, I don't know if military really. It sounds like we're not having much luck there anyway. You know. And yeah, exactly. So.
My question was also about the issue of voting to go in, and it's Syria, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought it was Iraq, but. Is it Syria? I don't know. There we go.
Anyway, you actually answered quite a bit of what I was interested in, but I'm really interested in his reasoning for that and whether he sticks with it, and whether he's, you know, got any information about the fact that bombing is not effective, and that it wrecks infrastructure, and you know, that means water, that means food, it means houses. Yep. I just don't get it, and I'm really shocked. And I want to talk to this guy.
And I think this is the thing when you're an actually elected official, whether you're, you know, at the city level, provincial level, federal level. I think a lot of us, I guess, being involved in politics, not at the elected level, but certainly trying to get elected, having talked to members that are elected, I think a lot of people that are there, they get briefing papers that we never see. We see them make decisions, whether they're conservatives, liberals, greens, whatever. They vote they're the way they vote, and we don't sometimes understand. I think you're right. It would be very interesting. It could just be that he's more of a, for whatever reason, even though it sounds like he evaded the draft, that he for whatever reason, is more of a militaristic kind of guy, right? He voted, you know, against the gun control measures, right? And he voted in favor of the militaries. He comes from Northern Ontario. That's a very more conservative part of Ontario. So, you know, who knows? Maybe he's just, I don't like to use the word pandering. Maybe he's just representing the constituents' concerns that they wanted military action rather than not. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be my guess, you know.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I have another little quick tag end here.
Yeah.
Him coming to Canada and living in the wilderness and building a cabin and all that, did he mention Thoreau? And you know, Thoreau was a Unitarian too.
Yeah, he didn't mention it. It's weird. He's told me to, and he sent me some emails that I never got a chance to go through, but if you Google Bruce Heyer log cabin, I guess that was one of his dreams, to come to some wilderness aspect, and it happened to be Canada, and to build a log cabin. So in his 30s, he actually managed to do that. He kind of fulfilled a lifelong dream of doing that, but he never mentioned any background. And if you look at his history before becoming a Green Party member, he is very environmentally conscious, but not, I think he probably had a lot of doubts about perhaps even the pacifist part of the party, right? And maybe that's why he wasn't a Green Party member at the time.
Okay, Alan, and then Donna, and then we'll see. Okay, you had your hand up first. I was just trying to be fair.
Yes, I wanted to, I'm rather confused, and I wanted to know, does the Green Party, like the other parties, have a statement about foreign policy, or is it primarily just focused on the environment.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I can't speak too deeply about the federal party. I'm more involved at the provincial level. What I do know of the federal party is, and even provincially, we are specifically, by the higher principles, I guess, a pacifist type of party, meaning we prefer non-intervention diplomacy. You know, we don't like to use, you know, military intervention, whether it's bombing or troops on the ground, that kind of thing. I think it is. I know when I was a member and had gone to an annual general meeting, I think that was in Alberta. I can't remember where in Burr, but there was an annual meeting there. It was under Jim Harris's leadership, and there was a fellow that came to speak to the annual assembly, and he was from the military college. I think it was Ontario's military college, and he when he came to speak, he said, you know, you might be surprised why a military speaker would be here in front of a pacifist party. He said the thing is, the Green Party at the time, I think it was either 04 or 08, the fact that you can run a full slate of candidates, meaning 300 and some candidates, means you could theoretically, if the people of Canada voted that way, you would form national government. Even if they voted 51%, you know, or if you got 51% seats, you would then form government. So he said you have an obligation not only to know, but also a duty to know about the military capacity of Canada. Whether you decide to demilitarize, whether you decide to add on, it is a portfolio that you will be responsible for. And another example would be Germany, where the German foreign minister was actually from the Green Party, and that was the first time the Green Party had to make a very, you know, once again, an important decision, whether or not to militarily intervene in what was happening in Yugoslavia, the breakup and falling apart. And even though the Green Party, once again, was a pacifist party, the foreign minister decided in his purview, Joschka Fischer, decided to vote for sending in the Luftwaffe. They had never used the Luftwaffe since World War II, and that was the first time they started bombing. So, it's a very interesting dilemma, and I think a discussion within the party ranks. I'm sure some party members probably don't like Bruce, but I think there's a lot of other members that feel this is the pragmatism, this is the reality of being an elected member. You sometimes have to, you know, represent your constituents. It may be against your personal viewpoint, but if you can't do that, then you're no longer a representative. You're voting your own personal belief, not your voters. So that's a very different scenario and situation. So sorry, Alan.
He sounds a bit like a liberal.
Yeah.
He's trying to get things done.
It's fine, yeah.
I did want to acknowledge that the comment that he made about everyone has a right to their own opinion, but no one has a right to their own facts, is a wonderful one, but it actually comes from Bernard Baruch, who was an American financier and presidential advisor in the 1950s,
okay.
I think.
Interesting.
And for those who might wonder whether the Liberal Party has a backbone or not, I would encourage them to read Justin Trudeau's memoir, Common Ground.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's good.
He gets to go twice because he's got inside.
Yes. Yeah, we've got, yeah. It's like a pretty good talk. Yeah.
Thank you. So, Victor, this question is directly related to the Green Party.
Oh, yes.
Now, everybody knows about Lac Mégantic and what happened and the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But the after fact of this is this particular company didn't have any insurances. And so either they declared bankruptcy and so on, so it came to be the state of Canada what to pay for the cleaning and so on. Mm-hmm. So my point is, does the Green Party have any point of spine and heart and brain to have all the tar sand, oil sand, make sure that they have enough insurance to clean their mess?
Well, I think that's definitely a very important point. I think in general, I mean, this is just me speaking, I guess, as a Green Party provincial leader. I think not only are we looking at those kind of insurance coverages, but I think there needs to be a full review, personally, even outside of the Green Party purview, but a full review of what corporations do and what their mandate is. I don't, ever since they were created, they seem to become bigger and bigger and larger, almost monstrous kind of entities that we have no control. You know, doesn't matter what government is in power, they just get to do whatever they do. I wish I could remember. There was I was reading. There was a small community. Oh, it was North Dakota. It's a very amazing article talking about the oil and fracking boom, and how even though the local citizens wanted a minimalist government, they didn't realize that the minimalist government they imposed basically was so bought off that when there were spills and explosions and accidents. They wouldn't, the council, the people in charge, they wouldn't even fine them. Like, the fines were ridiculous. It was like something like $7,000 for millions of dollars of damages. And then the elected official said, well, let's just roll it back to like, how about $700? Like, these corporations are making hundreds of millions of dollars. And you know, some people would argue, but they're good jobs. They're really good jobs. You know, Heather and me just seen a film indirectly related to the boom there, and it showed this poor young man. He was putting on some kind of chemical lubricant on the metal pipes so that they could, you know, I guess attach and then go into the ground, do the drilling, and bring up the oil. And he had no gloves, no safety. He was just lubing it with his hands, and then it showed him as he was being interviewed. You know, he's scratching. He says, "Oh, they tell me it's perfectly safe. It you know, it'll tingle for a while." But and he was, it was just terrible. His hands were just, you know, going red. So I think in general, you know, whether it's the Greens or any elected official or government, I think it's time the mandate needs to be reviewed. And if they can't fit in a paradigm of sustainability and not harming your communities or the people they you know hire to work, maybe they shouldn't be there. You know, I that's my personal viewpoint. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
So, did you enjoy doing that?
It was great.
Okay.